All right. You know, there's been quite a bit about concussions discussed and written about. I want you to hear this. I think you find this very, very interesting.
After repeated head impacts experienced in sports like American football, the brain can begin to shrink and deform, causing dementia-like symptoms. Why is this happening, and can we stop it? Howdy, gang. I'm Trace. Thanks for watching DNews today. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy, or CTE, is a serious condition first discovered in the 1920s with boxers, because boxers get hit in the head a lot, both during practice and during a match. According to one medical examiner in the 1928 issue of the Journal of the American Medical Association, nearly one half of the fighters who have stayed in the game long enough will experience something they called being, quote, punch drunk, slug nutty, or peculiarly cutting paper dolls. In the 20s, they termed this dementia pugilistica, word of the day, pugilist, which means boxer, but today we call this derangement CTE. Even nearly 100 years ago, these specialists were recognizing repeated cranial impact has huge implications. The brain is bound by the same laws of physics as everything else, and thus will move until something stops it, namely the skull. This is called a concussion. And even a minor one has a serious effect on your brain box. If a smack is hard enough, the brain tissues can become deformed or permanently damaged. Even lesser subconcussions, when taken together, can affect the brain long term. Basically, any activity where the head comes to a sudden stop repeatedly has the potential to trigger concussions and additively will cause this degenerative brain disease. CTE has been found in people who play American football, ice hockey, soccer, rugby, boxing, and wrestling, plus members of the military. Even people who only played in high school could develop CTE later. This is shocking stuff. And I just want to stop and say, according to the laws of physics, more pads do not stop the brain from moving inside of the skull any more than larger bumpers stop a person moving in a car crash. In another study from the 1920s, boxers' brains were looked at after death in an autopsy, which is when they realized something was wrong. Their brains had atrophied or shrunk. Even though we recognized this in professional athletes almost a century ago, it's only been in the news now because there likely wasn't an awareness of the problem before. CTE is difficult to diagnose because it manifests as behavioral changes that mimic other brain disorders like Alzheimer's or Parkinson's. Once the neurons and axons in the brain are permanently altered from the repeated impacts, so too is behavior, emotional control, memory, reasoning skills, physical and mental controls. CTE affects everything. The brain reacts to these impacts by literally shrinking. That's what they found in these boxers. It was called cerebral atrophy. In modern studies, doctors found as much as a 30% loss of the frontal, parietal, and temporal lobes. The damage centers on collections of neurons infused with a protein called tau. Tau normally helps stabilize neurons in the brain, but in CTE, it manifests as neurofibrillary tangles, turning the brain a yellow color. Neurofibrillary tangles are literally that. They look like the tau protein threads have become bundled up, and though how this happens isn't entirely understood by science, all the patients who have CTE have these tau tangles. In the end, as the brain shrinks and the amount of tangles grows, the person gets more aggressive and less emotionally and physically stable, and frighteningly, more suicidal. Or so it's thought. We can't look at the brain until after they're dead. Obviously, this is all bad, but can we do anything about it? CTE, Alzheimer's, and Parkinson's are all called tauopathic diseases. And unfortunately, research on living people with these disorders is still ongoing, and as of now, there is no cure, which means once CTE sets in, usually in middle age, decades after the repeated impact occurred, nothing can be done. Chronic traumatic encephalopathy is manifesting in athlete after athlete because they've spent their whole careers smashing into one another, either on purpose or on accident. And even this week, there was another death attributed to the mental anguish that comes along with this brain disorder. In the end, our brains are the source of everything we are. Does the discovery of CTE and its mental and behavioral consequences make you rethink about joining sports or for encouraging athletes to hit each other for our entertainment? Let us know down in the comments and keep coming back here every day so you get more DNews.
Ladies and gentlemen, what do you think about that? I mean, wow. I couldn't help but think about Muhammad Ali. And I know they said he had Parkinson's disease. But I've often wondered how much of his condition in his later years was due to the punching. I know some people said it's Parkinson's exacerbated by by the punching. I wonder if it was really, if the starting point was really the punching. And then what he developed looked so much like Parkinson's that they just said, well, it's Parkinson's exacerbated by the punching. One of the questions I want to ask you, basically repeat, you heard Trace ask at the end of his discussion, does this kind of information have us at least rethinking whether or not we'll have our children involved in sports that are high contact? I know for some of us, you know, one of the first thoughts is, well, my child is really big, strong, and heavy, and so my child is going to be the one giving the hits, not taking the hits. And that's certainly one approach. But when we think about injury and harm to people, period, do you ever find yourself thinking, I'm glad that my son is not the one who's going to be taking all these hard hits because he's so big and strong and so much heavier than his peers, but I'm not so sure it's cool for him to be able to hit his peers like that. I mean, what problems may he be causing them and their parents and the children themselves just won't know about it for another 10 to 15 years? Think about how Trace pointed out that we can, you know, a person can sustain these hits and it might, you know, and even if, let's say in high school, they're playing football. They take a lot of hits, brain gets jarred a number of times. They stop playing football after they finish high school. And still, years later, they begin to have problems because of what did happen while they were in high school. The problems begin to show up years later. I'm not saying that anyone should, I'm letting you decide for yourself, but I do want us to be asked, I just want you to think about that. Do you think that maybe we should consider, at, you know, just recommending that our children get involved in something other than high contact sports? Now, I know that there are going to be some injuries sustained in many sports. I mean, we talked about the golf deal and other sports that don't necessarily involve a whole lot of, I mean, they're not high contact sports. I know there's some physical jostling and all that kind of stuff going on in basketball, but it's not really considered a high contact sport. I don't know. What do you think? What are your thoughts about it?